Let's begin. It was back in the summer of 1968 when something occurred in Mexico City at the Olympics. Tommy Smith at that Olympics broke world and Olympic records with a time of 19.83 seconds running the 200 meters in a record that stood for a decade and a half, Chris. It stood until the 80s. And then we got on the medal stand, because when you win, you stand on the medal, and they play the national anthem, and he stood up there in what was called then a silent gesture, talking about what was going on in this country in the year 1968, and that was the fight for freedom and human rights. Tommy Smith and John Carlos' gesture was captured in an HBO documentary called Fist of Freedom. Since that time, he has been teaching and educating in California at Santa Monica College, I believe it is. Dr. Tommy Smith is one of the honorees of Major Taylor honorees at this year's Circle City Classic, and just announced that he and John Carlos will be the grand marshals of our Circle City Classic Parade. I'm honored and privileged to have on our live line Dr. Tommy Smith. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. It is a pleasure being here and listen to all the stuff that's happening on WCLT AM afternoons, and I'm here to go.
And maybe you can talk some sense. Maybe what you need to do is go to Washington and stand on a podium and raise your fist with the glove. Maybe bring some sense to these folks.
I still have the fist, and I can find me a glove now. Don't make no mistake about that, because a lot of things need doing there. I don't envy a president's position at all, but I know one thing. He's one of the strongest men that I know.
One of the things when I looked at your website and looked at your bio, we're talking with Tommy Smith, I was struck by the fact that you often quote from Acts 3:6, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee.
That's right. That's the way I live. I live by it. I've been blessed because of it. Death on the cross did all of us a lot of good, and we should take heed to it, even the mess in Washington.
I remember watching that Olympics in the summer of 68, before I started college, and it was on one of those big color TVs, because, back in the day, it was a big deal when you bought a color TV.
What you talking about?
In your household, and I think my family was stunned. I remember the image. I can't remember what I said. I can't even remember what my dad said. It might have been just watching, like, oh, Lord, what these two brothers done. What was the immediate reaction? I mean, did they strip you of the medal? Did they yell at you, cuss you out? What happened?
Mr. Amos Brown, number three, let me tell you something.
All right.
I was cut out, shut out, blown out, saw out. But I still stood up by the mighty power of God, and I'm still standing up. And like I said earlier, this too will pass, and we shall continue. Major Taylor's not going down in defeat on this one.
Back in the day, all Olympians were amateurs. It's not like it is today, where our Olympic athletes, with some exceptions, are millionaires before they even walk in at the opening ceremony.
Right.
The fact that you guys were amateurs, I know there were not, political repercussions, educational repercussions. Were there also repercussions in participating in the sport of track and field after that?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. There were many before, because the media locked in on us in 1967 when the Olympiad, pre-Olympics in Tokyo.
Right.
It was called the University of Games when I made a statement that there might be a boycott of the black athletes.
Mm.
But nowadays, the athletes are certainly highlighted by the shoulders they are standing on. But what I am cautious about their feet, their movement is, sometimes they don't realize from whence they come, and once they are blessed with identifying through the financial excerpts of what they were blessed with, they kind of forget about the shoulders that they're standing on. And this bothers me a lot. And this is why I teach number three. I teach it very indicative of the need for young black men to stand up. And 1968, the Olympic Project for Human Rights, which is the platform that we were under, this was the first time in history that a group of young black men stood in one arena fighting for the same thing. In fact, that fight should not have been if equality was understood and Jim Crow didn't fly and drop on everybody, because it certainly did on us.
One of the lessons I got in college, and this was over a minor issue, I went to Northwestern, graduated from there, was in student government, and we were trying to fight. We got tired of nobody coming to the football games. And so we were trying to say, well, maybe if the university had a hip name, and we thought of Purple Haze after the Jimi Hendrix song. We thought maybe if they had a hip name, they would do that. Plus, there was some concern that every college has pom-pom girls and cheerleaders.
Everybody.
And there were no young ladies of color. Mm-hmm. On those teams. So we were trying to get the athletes to stand in solidarity with us. And the athletes said, wait a minute now, if we get out here on point, we lose the scholarship.
Yeah.
And we couldn't understand and say, wait a minute, I got a scholarship. I got a loan. They can't take it away from me because of my First Amendment rights. And that's when I learned athletes don't have the same rights that a regular individual has. Is that one of the lessons that we can learn from what happened in October 68?
You know, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Hello.
And I think that the young black athletes now, and even some back then, sold their soul for the almighty dollar. Mm. And death is going to come to all of us. I'd rather live without the money, with the praise of in God, than to have the money and lose it unexpectedly on some unawares of our system. Now, to be a proud person, especially, let me speak of young black men now.
Okay.
To be a proud young black man, there are things, young man, that you're going to have to go through that you might call a sacrifice. But God sees it all. He put it there for a reason.
Mm.
You got to sacrifice to be revealed. And if you do this, you're going to be all right. Of course you're going to suffer. I mean, your mama suffered when you were brought into the world. So don't be so tentative about putting things out there so everybody can understand it. Standing in a force, more than one, is the only way that we, as a young black men, with them now, I used to be, but right now, you might call me a senior, I still understand the need for young black men to stand together in the light of excellence and not trying to be one because they got a few more dollars than somebody else. Stand together regardless of the social positive that you might call positive, call the almighty dollar. Get up and do something, young black men. Get up.
Do our young people today realize that the points of the spear of the civil rights movement, if you go back to Emmett Till, if you go back to North Carolina A&T, these were young men and women in their teens and their early 20s.
Tell it.
Do our kids really understand that they were the ones that did the change back in the day?
Well, that's called education. That's mm-hmm. called research. That's called pride in who you are, to go back and find out where you came from. And not enough of that is going on. It's an educational, typographical, social attitude that these young black men and women are looking toward to be somebody. You are somebody. All you have to do, what you have to do, is stand up and be counted because you are somebody. This is one of the biggest problems that we, the faceted folk, have in this country of color, is standing up, taking a positive stride, even though it might mean sacrifice. You're not going to get any place unless you put something up front to walk on. Simple and clear.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. We are with Dr. Tommy Smith. He is one of the co-honorees of the Major Taylor Award, and he will be one of the grand marshals of this year's Circle City Classic Parade. He'll be at the game. He'll be feted at the Circle City Classic Coaches Luncheon on next Friday. What was it like playing for the Bengals and the legendary Paul Brown?
Oh, it was something. Let me tell you. Paul Brown, the legendary Paul Brown, who also coached Jim Brown, my area coach was Bill Walsh, the great West Coast offense person.
Ah.
They gave me, listen now, mm-hmm. they gave me the chance to continue because I was still at San Jose State, promised a lot of things by others around in the area and around in Los Angeles, which didn't come to fruition after the 1968 Olympic victory stand.
Mm.
People ran away from me like I was the plague.
Right.
And after a while, I thought I was the plague until, Bible verse popped in my mind. And remember going to church with my dad. He sat on that mourning bench. and picking that cotton in Southeast Texas, that was my pride. And let me tell you, I'm still standing on the battlefield. I'm still doing things, and I hope the young black folks listen to additives such as Major Taylor, such as Tommy Smith, such as Jim Brown, such as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and move on up instead of sitting back waiting for something to happen. You, young folks, it is happening. You are the happening. Make something else happen.
You mentioned Coach Walsh. We're talking about the 49er Coach Walsh?
That's the man.
So this was before he went to 49ers.
That's right. I told you, I'm an old dude. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm up there. I'm not 35, you know.
I know you're not. But Paul Brown opened that door, I won't say respectability, but opened that door where you could work.
I had no job.
Mm-hmm.
I was behind in rent. In fact, I lost my house because of that.
Mm.
I only made $300 a week now.
Yeah.
$300 a week.
Mm.
But that was $300 a week more than I was making. So I could buy my baby some Similac and put a decent dress on my wife's body. And that was the opening. But number one is the educational process. I still had my education.
Mm.
I still had that BA and en route to my master's degree. I never let education take a second seat to any collegiate athletics or professional football.
Has the Olympic movement ever come back to embrace you? Are you and Brother John Carlos still considered outcasts?
I know we are still considered outcasts. Let me tell you this, number three. The USOC, the United States Olympic Committee,
mm-hmm.
has not inducted Tommy Smith or John Carlos into the United States Olympic Track and Field Hall of Fame because of what happened in Mexico. And I was under the impression that you were brought into, or you were suggested to become a part of the Olympic Hall of Fame because of what you did physically and not your belief. That's what Avery Brundy said a long time ago. But again, it turned around just like the 1980 team, and they used the athletes to confirm the solidarity of a country, and that's wrong. So John Carlos and Thomas Smith were outcasts. We're not being put into that Olympic Hall of Fame because of our belief in equality, and I think the Olympic Hall of Fame is certainly in a wrong category by doing so.
So unlike Pete Rose, who isn't in baseball's Hall of Fame because he cheated and he bet on his own games, he bet on baseball, unlike some of these other athletes who took the illegal steroids and all of that and played dirty, you guys played clean, you played by the rules, you didn't cheat, you didn't gamble, you if there was a TMZ around, you wouldn't have been on the TMZ website, and the Olympic movement hasn't learned forgiveness. Even the new Pope is teaching forgiveness now.
Amen, amen, amen. No, we were not. We were streaky clean. We played by the rules, and what this country failed to realize that we were eligible to make a stand at the games because it was not against the rules. It was a human act. The Olympic Project for human.
No, you're absolutely right. And the Olympic movement has embraced Muhammad Ali in spite of all the controversies, and some of his controversies were more notorious than just what you guys did that night.
It seems to be that. So what is it? Why have not the Olympic Committee ruled in a positiveness to include Tommy Smith and John Carlos?
Mm.
Something is smelly there. Jim Crow is still flying around and dropping mess on folks.
Said Breaking Bad ain't over with yet.
Breaking Bad ain't over with yet.
I gotta ask you. You teach sociology. That is your degree. That's what you've been teaching. As a sociologist, how do we get out of this vicious cycle we're in today with young black men killing each other?
Yeah. Well, mamas and daddies, preachers in the churches. Let's go to work. It's called education. It's called pride. But young folks have to learn by example.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have to use the English language to make that happen. We have to continue working with the masses to improve the ideology of being proud. And that doesn't come by reading your fourth grade reader about Abraham Lincoln. We have to get out there in the community and one-on-one deal with the reality of success in our black society. Simple and clear.
We're talking with Dr. Tommy Smith, 239-1310. 239-1310 is our number. Clyde is on the line. Got a question for Brother Tommy Smith. Hi, Clyde.
Hi, Amos. How you doing today?
We're fine.
Good. I am excited about the guest that you have today. Dr. Tommy Smith and John Carlos are the centerpiece of my PhD dissertation research. So I had a quick question for him. And I also wanted to say that in my book, he's already in the Hall of Fame, he and John Carlos. I wanted to ask, as kind of a follow-up question to what you just mentioned to Dr. Smith, what things today would he say that we should be standing for as he stood on the Meadow Stand at the Meadow Stand protest in 1968? What would he call the civil rights issues that would be relevant to take a stand on today as a young black man?
Great question. Dr. Smith?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for that question. A very good one. Loaded, but it's a good one. It's called pride within the justice system. Everybody has something to say about anything. I think our conversation should be more prolonged in the attitude of rights, human rights, civil rights, the ideal of what this country was born on. And using its rules, regulations, and money upon, and it is not to deal with a situation like rights in any form with money, but it is more with pride and with justice. We have to look up, not look aside, not look back. We have to look up. And I said a few moments ago, young'un, the sacrifices, physical sacrifices, the mental sacrifices, the verbal sacrifices that we must go through must be challenged and move forward proactively. So we're talking about coming together, a combination of togetherness in the same direction as John Carlos and Tommy Smith did on the victory stand. It's so simple that it's difficult.
Great question, Clyde. Now, if you get an A, let us know.
I will. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Clyde. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 with Dr. Tommy Smith, world record holder in the 200 meters at the 1968 Olympics. Where do you keep the medal? Or did they take the medal back?
Oh, no. They wanted to take it back, but I shed a whole lot of blood and anger getting that medal, and I said the same thing had they tried to take it away. It was a lot of verbiage about them taking the medal away, and John Carlos and I said, we don't think so, but if you think you can get it, well, you know, here it is. But no, I have the medal. I do believe Dr. Carlos has his medal, and we're not about to throw that medal in anybody's Mississippi River.
Where do you keep it? In the house? In the office? In a safe?
Well, there's a charge for that answer. And it's a charge which you got, and you must keep it, because the charge I have, and I got it here with me.
You've got a website, and I know you retired from teaching, but you're still active. What kinds of things keep you active?
Oh, yeah, number three, I tell you, I've been active. I thought I was going to retire and find me a big old Southern Georgia tree and sit under, and then wait till the fruit fall hit me in the head like Johnny Appleseed or somebody.
Yeah.
But after I got here, I found out that there's more work to do than it is necessary for me to sit around and say what I used to do. So I'm still involved in youth. In California and in Washington, D.C., we have the Thomas Smith Youth Initiative in both of those states. And here I work with students here in Georgia. I traveled a lot. Every weekend this week I'm doing something. In 2008, there was 1 month which I spent, one year,
right.
I visited, no, 1 month, gosh, I tell you, 70 years old, we visited 14 different countries. So that's just an example of what me and the wife, Dolores, is trying to do, is continue to move, continue to be positive in our acts with youth, and not only just call them and talking to them, mm-hmm. but helping them with their high school and junior high school equipment that they need for sports, their different type of a utensil they need for learning in school, a lot of things. And so it's not just one thing, but we have a plethora of things that we do just because we were blessed to have so we can do.
He is Dr. Tommy Smith. He will be in Indianapolis next Friday and Saturday. He will be honored at the Circle City Classic Coaches Luncheon, which will be in the foyer of our Lucas Oil Stadium, right under the big blue Colts horseshoe in Lucas Oil Stadium. He will be there for that. He will be the Grand Marshal, the co-Grand Marshal of the Circle City Classic Parade that will be next Saturday, not this Saturday, but next Saturday the 12th, starting at 10 a.m. sharp on Ohio Street, Meridian Street, and Pennsylvania Streets downtown, and also broadcast on Wish TV Channel 8. And he'll be hanging in a skybox.
Amen. Sky me.
Hello. You know, in the game, Brother Tommy, it is an honor and privilege to talk to you. I look forward to meeting you in person so you can meet the Amos Brown of the Midwest as opposed to the Amos Brown of the Bay Area. So you'll discover I don't look like him. Raise the same amount of sand, but I don't look like him. It is an honor and a privilege to, first of all, talk to living not just African-American history, not just living American history, but living world history, living sports history. And I look forward next week to talking to your colleague, and I look forward a classic weekend to meeting you both personally and giving you the right hand of fellowship. God bless you. Have a safe journey to our community. Brother Tommy Smith.
Looking forward to the City Classic Black Expo. Thank you.
Thank you.